We've all heard where they say life is a journey. But sometimes that sentence is not complete. Because it has been said that it's not the destination that matters, it's what goes on before you get to your destination. Because you can learn a lot from that. And life is a continuous learning. It is the greatest teacher we have. Worship leader sent me something, says, "You will not always be in school. But in life, you will always learn." Isn't that the truth? Kids are out of school now. Some have graduated from high school, some from college. But their learning process still continues. And it doesn't matter where they go throughout life. After formal school, there's always something. Life is always giving back. And only the wise soul, they pay attention to what life is teaching. Because that's the only way we can make meaning of our own journey of this life. So, learning for life, you must be curious, you must be attentive, you must be committed. Without those things, it's a no-go because then you can't really get the full impact of that. So, what does the scripture say about life? I will quote a series of things before we go to our story. God, excuse me, in the book of Genesis, the Old Testament, what some we call the Jewish Bible, it's part of the Pentateuch, the five, God is the author of life. This is Genesis 1:27. In other words, you and I, our mother might claim to give birth to us, but our mother and father, they didn't form us. They didn't even know how things would happen. How does God define life? God reveals through the author of the book of Genesis that he created some things with nephesh. Nephesh, nephesh. This is the Hebrew word usually translated to living being in Genesis, but also as life, soul or with breath. That's what that means. And things created with nephesh are some animals and humans. But I go further than that. Everything, including the shrubs, everything has soul. Everything's breathing. If you want to know the trees are breathing, try to cut them down and then put some chemicals, you will definitely know they are breathing. And in some trees, when you cut, you actually see what we call the blood, the thing that comes out. And it makes us say, no, because God says, love each other. Do unto your neighbor as you want to be done to you. So take care of the trees because they have life too. and all the other things. When we want to clip them, or we want to keep them for are growing so much, talk to them. Let them know you are about to do this. And they will know that you show you acknowledge God in them. Don't let your kid go and just grab a branch of a tree and break it just because the kid feels like it. We remember during our wedding, the little girl was it, and she cried her eyes out because they wouldn't let her grab the. What is the point of life according to the scriptures? And it doesn't matter what part of spirituality or religion you belong to. The main purpose of life is ultimately to glorify God. Isaiah 43, 6, 7. And who is God? He is the owner of life. So you glorify the God that is in you, that is in me, that is in all things. It's not the one we think is separated from all his creation. No. Because then, what's the purpose of glorifying? We are the reflection of that God. Now, whether we act like that true God, that's up to us. Because our thoughts can be crazy. Our words and actions can be. And that's why Christ, Jesus said, do unto others as you want them done unto you. Because you acknowledge God in each other. Because we were created for God, not for punishment, not for all these crass things that we think is going on, not for calm. We are created for God so that we can enjoy God. God can enjoy us. Because we're a reflection of that. And therefore, that God in you, in me, is worthy of all glory and honor. So if you treat yourself badly, you are not honoring God. You are not glorifying God. You glorify something else. Because it starts with you. We cannot give what we don't have. So if you honor yourself in spite of all your imperfection, that is a different story. If you honor yourself, you are honoring God. If you think you cannot achieve something, you are dishonoring God. Because there is no limitation to what God wants you to experience about God's self in you. Each life is truly a gift from God. We can honor this gift, God's gift, by cherishing our own lives, as well as respecting and valuing the lives of others. Because God said, we are precious in his sight, in God's sight. And by trusting that God in us and being diligent in our choices, we can share the light and truth with the world around us. You and I are precious in the sight of God. So are the herbs and everything else. It's like trying to have everything and ignoring your siblings. For those of us who have siblings, what kind of world is that? And what is the most important thing in life is to love the Lord your God. So by loving yourself, guess who you are loving? You are showing that, yes, you came from that truth. You don't love yourself, then how can you love anybody else? It's not going to work. And that's why they say, word is cheap. You know, action, that's what matters. Action is life. That's life lessons. You can say, I love myself. Yeah, but then why are you grieving? Why are you mourning? Why are you yearning for things that is not going to benefit you? But just because somebody else has it. Oh, I like that. I like glasses on some people, but I didn't want to wear glasses until I found I need to wear glasses. Maybe that's how I ended up with glasses. So loving, to love God and to love, which is loving ourselves, it's always the central issue of life. But if we love ourselves, we can love everybody else. And I'm not talking transactional love. I'm not talking jedi-jedi love. In Psalm 100, verse 3, he says, it reminds us, God loves us and wants to shepherd. That is a biblical word, you know. God loves and wants to shepherd us as we go through life, never to be alone again. If you know somebody's got your back, will you worry? No. God says, I'm in you, I'm in everything. You trust me, you believe, then everything is okay. Because it doesn't matter what challenges. It doesn't matter what we yearn for the purpose. God is there to help us fulfill it. But we cannot go against ourselves. So what's the spiritual meaning of life? It's about transcendence and interconnectedness. Transcendence means you are above all these things. You are in the spiritual ways of doing things. And you do not ignore your connection to others, to all of creation. And that's why the angelic group, they celebrate a soul who knows itself as the emblem, the symbol, the reflection of God. Because it does not dissociate itself from anything else. There's no need for fear. They recognize that and they will come and celebrate with you. And whatever you ask for, because they know once you recognize that, there's nothing stopping you. Even when you think, because that's how the Holy Ones do. It's always about thought. When they have that thought, the power goes out to fulfill it. And people wonder why Jesus can wake up the dead, walk on the water and all of that. But if our thought is so separated that we think God is there and we can't accomplish anything, then we wonder why life challenges us. You think Jesus, if he was acting like God, he would be able to stop the storm? When his disciples say, "Oh, Master, Master, help where, you know, be still." And they wonder, who is this one who can tell this storm to be still and everything? Well, get up, Lazarus. He's telling them, the one who is already smelling is asleep. They were like, what did he drink? Is he smoking some stuff? This guy, you can smell him. His body's already decaying and he says he's asleep. And he said, get up, come out, Lazarus. So we must always celebrate our interconnectedness. And we must live in that transcendental part of us. Because when we're living in that, it doesn't mean you ignore your physical realm, because you cannot operate in that transcendental if you have this body without acknowledging your physical realm. That's why the interconnectedness. When we live in that transcendency, then we really know how to relate to ourselves. Remember, ourselves first. And then we can relate to others. Then we acknowledge that we have that love. We are that love. And we live in that love. And then we can give that love to others. Shouldn't they make this phone where at least the page can stay on forever? I mean, I tap and it's like it's trying to go away and I'm trying to bring it back to life. Maybe I should practice that like Jesus. Say, you stay until I'm done. What is God's purpose for my life, your life, and everybody's life? God wants us to find happiness and joy. He didn't say we should be beaten by the weather or anything else. Because God is that happiness, is that joy. And when you are happy, we know how that goes. And when you are joyful, you are not. Because if you are happy and joyful, you know things are going well, isn't it? We don't have negative thoughts. And God wants us to live by faith. Because that's how we're going to grow. And that's part of the transcendental. You know, you are not thinking this is good. No, you know it's going to happen. That's faith. You know you have the power, the ability to see through any difficulty and to get to a place of peace and happiness and joy. You're not scratching your head. The last time I heard, I didn't see Jesus scratching his head like, oh, am I going to heal this person? No. Because he's living in that faith, that transcendence. Get out of it. Rise up. And so what is the true meaning of life? To know God as God really is and to enjoy God and all that God is for us, in us, because that's where the Christ consciousness is. That consciousness is in each and every one of us. And if you are not enjoying it, well, shame on you, shame on me. Because that's not God's plan. God said, yeah, karma, no karma, we have challenges. But that's the lesson of life. But you don't worry your head about that. You see it, and when you claim yourself as my reflection, you see through, you know where, how to go. Even if you don't know how it will end, you have the faith that I am with you always. I'm never separated from you. And I know all things, and I do all things. That's how God is. And in John 14:6, this is the New Testament, the Gospel, the Christian Bible. Jesus said, I am the way. Remember Jesus? He represents the Christ consciousness. And that Christ consciousness is in each of us, in all creation. It's just the physical so that we can see that Jesus is alive. So Christ consciousness is alive. You can't kill it. That's why Jesus resurrected. You cannot kill Christ consciousness that God has given to all his creation. Otherwise, yeah, they kill him and he's gone. Bye-bye. Nobody will remember. But he's alive and they remember because that's how life is in us. That's the presence of God in us. And that presence, speaking through Jesus, said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. He so loved the world, he gave his Son. You might be a woman in this physical form, but the Son that they talk about is in you. So if God loves each of us so much that he chose to live in us, then what is our issue? So school is done. But the learning continues. Because none of us can get to the transcendental part if we do not honor that consciousness in us. That's why they say it's the only way. But in Christianity, they think, okay, he's talking about the religion. As if Jesus came and said, I'm starting a Christian religion. Because in the same verse, it says, all life comes from God, both physical and spiritual. That's what it means. And God is the owner of life and death. He has the power. And the book of Psalms says, life is truly a gift from God. God is the creator and sustainer of all life. And that Christ in us is saying, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. Well, if God is in you and you don't love like that, well, goodbye to you. Because you are that representation that God says, thou shalt love the Lord with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with everything. So we carry the seed of the eternal creator, and we should act like it. Do you see when you plant a seed and then it shows a different tree? No, it's not going to happen. If you plant the seed of an apple is coming out if it makes it. So if you are expecting orange or strawberry or coconut, it's not going to happen. So if we are carrying, if we are that seed, we should reflect exactly what it is. And part of that is recognizing your own gift, my own gift, and using them to contribute to the world. That's why you can't have everything and leave your sibling not to have one. It's not, the world doesn't work like that. Anyone who has been so selfish, watch out for them. You will see how their life evolves. They might think they got away with it by amassing. But in the end, they lose. But we shouldn't have a spiritual community. Because we're all helping each other grow. And the only teacher is in us. Not the one talking. When I mean talking, I mean the physical Papa Moses. No. We are our greatest teacher because that greatest teacher is God in us, that Christ. And to wrap this up, here's a story. The man who asked Buddha why there is no change in him. Remember, somebody also asked Jesus that. Remember the rich guy? That he wants to say, well, give up everything. Don't be attacked. And that guy said, oh, let me think about it because he's a super billionaire. He cannot imagine. So here with Buddha used to give lessons, you know, talk like what we're having by the riverbank. Many people come and listen. So this person used to come on a daily basis. to listen to what Buddha is saying. Then one day, after Buddha has given his talk, he went to Buddha and said, Lord Buddha, or Gautama, whatever the title you give, I listen to your teachings every day, but still there is no change in me. Buddha smiled and asked, which village are you from? Which community are you from? Christian, Jewish, Islam, Muslim, you know, which village are you from? Or atheist or whatever. Which village are you from? The man replied, I come from a village that is 10 miles away. I live there. Buddha asked, how do you come from your village? Do you take the donkey, the camel, the supersonic, the yacht? Or do you footrun it? The man replied, I walk all the way here. 10 miles, remember? Every day he does that. So he has that commitment, right? Because you must be committed to be able to walk 10 miles every day. I mean, it's the same thing we see in our Wednesday meditation. You must be committed. There must be something for you to show up every time on your Wednesday. So the man said, I walk all the way here. And then Buddha said, can you reach your village without walking? The man was surprised and said, no, that's not possible. What kind of a question is that? If you don't walk, you don't get on a bicycle or a tricycle, a car, a supersonic, then how can you get to anywhere? Huh? Then Buddha smiled and said, similarly, if you do not implement my teachings in your behavior, then there will be no effect on you. Nor can you see any change in yourself. You yourself have to start following these teachings in your life consistently, according to the situations. It doesn't matter. Only then can you bring change in your life. See, he had the commitment, 10 miles. What good is walking 10 miles if you won't practice what you hear? So what good is it to say you love God, you know God, and I'm going to meditate on God, if you're not practicing to know that God is already in you? God loves you more than anyone can love you. And God wants you to have a great life. No need for you to feel brokenhearted, no matter what it is. No need to be fearful or anxious or jealous or resent or further resentment and the worst, or hate yourself. Because if you hate somebody, that means you hate. There's something in you that you hate. And God is not God of hate. So what are we going to do? We need to practice what we hear. If you hear it every Wednesday, or when you read all the other fine books and scriptures and other teachers, but you're not living it, it's a waste of time and energy. If you think God cannot surmount any trouble you have, no matter the challenges, that you have been built with the power of God in you, that Christ in you, to overcome any challenges, to attract to yourself all the good things you want in life, and that you trust that those good things are according to God's will, God wants you to have a better life than you do now. If God didn't want you to have a better life than you do now, you and I will not be here. We'll be in the other side. There's something that needs to be transformed that we're still carrying. And the TSA is not letting us get on the airplane. Because it's so easy for us to talk. But it's the greatest thing is to listen and act. And God is always there to inspire us. I'm not saying talk to us. Inspiration. You may not even hear the voice. You just know something say do something. You just want to do something. Don't ignore it. That's one of the things I've learned. Everything is not going to come in bells and whistles. But if you listen, and we listen so that God can inspire our thoughts, you know, then our words, then our actions and activities. Oh, then we're good to go. And we won't worry whether we do it perfectly or not. Just do it. I sound like Ronald Reagan, right? Just do it. Is it? Not Ronald Reagan, Nancy Reagan. So learning for life. Life is always teaching us. Let's not be like that man who has put the outcome and not changing. We can change. And God wants us to change so that we can live well and celebrate each other. Remember, we're connected. And we need to live in that transcendental part of us. And then the world will be a better. We always appreciate life and its lessons. Amen. Mm-hmm.